Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, Sunday night, week two, initial reaction podcast. We're going to have snap reactions here Monday. I'll be getting into that Monday, releasing by Tuesday morning, by Wednesday morning. We'll have your waiver show. We're going to have some trade stuff this week as well. But I want to do some rundown storylines we're going to see this week, stuff I think we should probably be attending to, with our attention and the fallout that may come from that. So Andy Dalton left with a knee injury. Nagy says it's not they don't believe it's an ACL. He's going to get more tests this week. Dr. Gina Football Guys doesn't think he's out of the woods yet on ACL. He says it looked like it could have been an ACL. He says it also looks like it could have been a meniscus as well. So not sure there in terms of what we're gonna find. We should find out some point on Monday, hopefully. Justin Fields, next man up, looks like could be through 2 weeks basically. Then that we did this Dalton thing, and now it's gonna be turned over to Fields. We'll have to see how that goes. I'm interested in some of the time to throw stuff for Fields once we get some full data from PFF. Baker left, returned. It looks like it's a. It's called a left shoulder subluxation, and it's something along the lines of like a dislocation, but it is a looks like it's something that he'll probably need surgery for in the off season, but isn't something that'll hold him out this year. So if that makes sense, like he's probably good to go with it. But not, but long-term we'll probably need some surgery to get it figured out. Tyrod, this one worried me. It's a hamstring. He was ruled out really quickly. And then it's Davis Mills comes in. We'll have to see here. It's a short week, so I think it's probably unlikely that he plays. I'm hoping like the one side of one to several weeks, we'll see how that ultimately is. I think the fall is going to be on Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, leads in air yards, a percentage of teams' air yards through 2 weeks. So for what that's worth, it'll be interesting to see what Brandon Cooks is able to do, more so than I think what Tyrod truly was able to do. But listen, Tyrod's like the human anti-tanking machine. Like, he's just never going to play you into being that bad. So hoping that he's well and he can get back. I got him in a couple spots that he's fantasy viable, so we'll have to see. All right, Carson Wentz, right ankle injury. Severity is unknown. We'll have to see sort of what that is. We're going to be watching for that this week. Rib injury for Tua. Dr. Gene at Football Guys thinks doubtful for week three. So Jacoby Brissett out there. I'd say Jacob Eason too for Wentz. That probably Jacoby Brissett first ahead of Eason, but and I think that they're ahead of Davis Mills. It's not really a great situation here. I would say like if Baker's going to be injured, or maybe if Baker's like an extended. One thing I think we should probably watch for is what the risk of re-injury is and the sort of long-term implications of that are. So if there's another incident with Mayfield, does this initial incident make that 2 to 6 weeks or something like that, where he could otherwise play through it if it was a first-time deal? But so it's sort of that thing. I don't know. That's something we need to watch for, because in that case, I think Keenum can be an add. The running back position, McCaffrey was dealing with some leg cramps. Looks like it shouldn't be an issue. One I think that is interesting and is probably relevant to us is Dalvin Cook. Looks like it's a high ankle sprain. Apparently when the high ankle sprain occurs, like there's different mechanisms for it that can make it worse. One of the things that makes it worse is when the foot is in the ground when the ankle is sprained. It creates more pressure. It doesn't look like that was actually the case here with Dalvin Cook. So it looks like he had a high ankle sprain sort of action on his leg, but his foot wasn't planted. So that's sort of one of the escape things for him. So we'll be on the watch for that. We're looking 24 hours or so into Monday. We'll sort of see what the prognosis is on his ankle and what the implications for that could be long term. Rib injury for Darrell Henderson, not really sure the the long-term implications of it or really the severity of it. So we'll be watching for that early this week. San Francisco, just a wasteland for running backs here. Looks like some sort of shoulder/stinger injury for Elijah Mitchell. Sermon's in the concussion protocol, high ankle sprain for Hasty. So we'll be watching there. Kerryon Johnson could be a deeper add, I think, because he's on their practice squad. So we'll be on the watch for that too. And just a name to monitor, I think, you know, we'll get into this or, you know, might talk about this in other forms, but if Jeff Wilson's available, like he, again, I'm not sure he's going to be back, you know, week seven or right when the pup stuff is all the way up, but we're almost halfway there. So in this might be one of those situations where he's sort of like lingering there and all of a sudden they hand him the baton. It's like, oh, wait, you're just going to go. And he just goes. Like, that could be the situation given how much carnage there is in that backfield. So he's a name that I would pay attention to, his availability out there. It might be tough to do right now, especially in shallower rosters. But as you sort of get maybe a week or two out there and there's still this unfolding carnage in the San Francisco backfield, just keep that name in mind. And so that's pretty much it with the running back situation. A couple of big wide receiver ones. Looks like it's an MCL sprain for Jarvis Landry. Looking good for like a week on the short end to like a month or so. Could be worse. Doesn't look like it's too terribly bad from the looks of it, apparently. But I think that's one we're going to be watching for. Unknown severity of an ankle injury for Deontay Johnson, so we'll be watching that. Looks like a bruised knee for DK Metcalf. Shouldn't be super concerning there. Probably going to be able to give it a go outside of something much worse being the case, but it didn't look like that. It looks like there was a knee bang. All right, so those are the injury stuff. And then I think a couple of other bigger stories bear observation. Zeke. So Zeke goes 16 for 71, a touchdown, and he has two catches. Pollard goes 13 for 109. And a touchdown, 3 for 31 through the air. So it still is Zeke out touching him 18-16. But you are getting more work for Pollard. You're getting more explosive plays out of Pollard. You're getting higher performance over expectation out of Pollard. I'll be interested to see how Dallas handles that. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull down first for Pollard, but I would do that. And I definitely think that's something you do if you can do it. I'm not sure that's going to happen right now, but if you can do that, I would do that. The other one is Trevor Lawrence's value. So third worst in terms of completion percentage over expectation at -10.1, behind only Jameis and Davis Mills. Listen, people took him over Wilson. Like, if you did that, like, that mistake is on you. Like, don't say we didn't warn you. You know, and we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. But be interested to see if there's some cratering in his price. You know, he was so insulated, and you're only as insulated as you are good. That's what I would say. So this is going to be a classic case of that. Again, I'm guessing it's not going to, the floor is not going to fall out from underneath his cost, but he's one that I would just at least entertain some thoughts of inquiring. You know, just take a peek, see, and see what the cost is. Zach Wilson's another one that might actually not be bad to do this with, as we're sort of going along. All right, so the top six guys in terms of next gen CPOE, so completion percentage over expectation. Dak is the best this week, 13.9. Kyler, 13.8. Mayfield, 10.4. Darnold, 10. Carr, just over 9, Bridgewater 8.6. The sixth worst guys, Davis Mills -14.7, Winston -13.9, so he comes back to earth there a little bit, -10.1 for Lawrence, -8.3 for Jacoby Brissett in relief at Tua, -7.2 for Stafford, which is a disappointment after performing pretty well last week. So we'll be on the watch for how that potentially develops. And like, he's a quarterback that I like quite a bit coming into the season. This week one was pretty nice, and then week two Not so nice. So we'll be on the watch for that and see how that ultimately unfolds. You know, about his projection, his arc of his career at this point. And then last but not least, in terms of guys under expectation for your week two performance, the aforementioned Zach Wilson at -7.2%. When you look at the rushing yards over expectation, some of the guys that struggled actually a little bit last week are back, coming back to the pack. It wouldn't be surprised, too terribly surprising. Chubb, +3.6 yards over expectation per attempt. All these are per attempt stats. +2.7 for Pollard. +2.5 for Henry. That's nice. He had a big gain. +2.1 for Singletary. That's notable. +1.7 for Tyson Williams. So that's one that you continue to look like, hey, how does he grade out? You know, we'll see firm stats here going forward in terms of PFF stuff. But this actually looks good and sort of, I think, is a good case towards his value. So, or his skill, I should say. And we'll have to see sort of the quality of the volume as it comes in. But I'm pretty interested in how he continues to perform. One last notable one there up at the top, Michael Carter, 1.26 yards over expectation per attempt. That's up in the top six of the position. And that's a new name. So I think he's one, given I think the rest of the backfield's pretty pedestrian, he's one that is interesting in how he could develop. The worst, Elijah Mitchell, not great. -2.3 for Elijah Mitchell. That's pretty bad. All told, -1.35 for Melvin Gordon. That was actually +0.78 for Javonte Williams. So a big swing there between the two. So we'll see. That's a storyline to continue to watch. -0.91 for Mixon. So 0.9 of it, just a little over -0.9 of a yard per attempt for Mixon. -0.88 for McCaffrey, -0.85 for James Robinson, and Sony Michel's -0.72. And that is given Henderson well above expectation. So there's a pretty solid difference there between the two of them. And I think that's a situation where you could say, hey, what's the implication of that? And do you get, is this a situation where Henderson can just get more work? Is this a situation where they're going to continue to be in the, you know, in a competition where Henderson's underperforming or Henderson's overperforming Michelle? You know, Henderson +0.35 in comparison to Michelle. That's absolutely one we're going to watch for here in the coming weeks. You know, so it's 0.35 over expectation for Henderson, and then it's -0.72 for Michelle. Like that's adds up to being a big difference. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. Percentage of team air yards. So I think this one's interesting, and then we'll get ready and we'll look going in depth more tomorrow. Brandon Cooks, 2/3 of the air yards for the entire team. Just wild. Cortland Sutton, 16.2. And this is all week two stats. 60% for Justin Jefferson, 56.9 for Pittman, 54.8 for Marquise Brown, 52.7 for Chase Claypool, 52.4 for Tyler Lockett, and 50.7 for Calvin Ridley. So some names there that are not surprising, some names there that are. You know, Pittman's one that I think is just as interesting given how, I guess, little there is around him at this point. So that's definitely one name I'm watching and monitoring. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I'll do snap reactions here going into week two. I'll have some deeper thoughts on the rest of these guys. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.